enjoyed the music tonight. And I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to give you back a few minutes from this morning. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're talking about renew, and we do need a renew of discipleship. I think the Institute is, anyway, I think Brother Zellner, you're teaching the Sermon on the Mount on Thursday nights, aren't you? Going through the Sermon on the Mount? And we need a renewed emphasis upon discipleship, and we're going to cover that in the fall this year on Sunday nights. But we need a renewed emphasis upon growing in Christ, and we talked about that in the Bible conference. Tonight, a renewed emphasis upon worship, the importance of worship. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 23. Here we see Jesus with the woman at the well. He says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew." Verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." You know, we ought to worship the Lord, but He desires our worship. He desires that relationship with Him, but He desires. He desires for us to sing to Him. He desires for us to obey Him and to please Him and all these things and to worship Him. Let's look at this again. Look at, we won't turn there, but Psalm 29, verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." And we ought to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. We serve a great God. We serve a big God, bigger than we can ever comprehend. And what a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of Your Word. Bless tonight. Help us, Lord, as we talk about and preach upon worship, to worship You in spirit and in truth, to worship You in the beauty of Your holiness. Help us to be true followers, true worshipers of You. In Jesus' name, amen. The definition of worship, and you've heard this many times, worship is honor and adoration directed to God. Honor and adoration directed at God. To worship Him, to honor Him, to honor Him, to adore Him. And we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We see the worship of some of the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Especially we think of Abel as he worshiped the Lord. This outline I've given you several times, and Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and what they represent. It says there in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the definition of worship is honor and adoration directed towards God. Here we see the design of worship in that Abel represents our worship. He came to God and worshiped Him as God had designed it. Cain came to worship God in a way that was contrary to God's design. He brought the fruit of his own, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of his works. But Abel brought that lamb and made that a sacrifice unto God. Abel represents our worship. Enoch represents our walk. He was walking with God and was not, for God took him. And he had this reputation of this testimony that he pleased God. That should be our walk. And boy, we put a lot of emphasis the last couple Sundays on our walk with God. And I still think you ought to go back and do some reading in Ephesians, and just all the time the Bible talks about our walk, to walk in Him, to walk in the Spirit, there in Galatians. In Ephesians, walk circumspectly, walk in love, walk in light, walk worthy of the vocation where it's been called. The Bible speaks so much on walking. And as Christians, we ought to be progressing in our Christian life. We ought to be walking. We ought to be going forward in our Christian life. And so Enoch represents that walk. What a testimony that he pleased God and was not, for God took him. That's something. Amen. Enoch began to walk one day, and he got so close to God, God said, come on. You're closer to me than you are to earth. Just come on. Amen. Enoch walked with God. Then Noah represents our work. Noah represents our work. By faith, Noah builded an ark. It had never rained before. The water came up from the ground like a mist. Before the flood, there was no rain before the flood. There were no thunderstorms before the flood. There were no Texas thunderstorms. There were no tornadoes. There were no hurricanes before the flood. All those things happened because of God's judgment and are still happening because of God's judgment. By the way, when we see the floods, when we see the tornadoes, we ought to think, again, the world has been judged by God because of man's sin. And so Noah built an ark, built a big, big boat. And you can go to, Answers in Genesis and go see it. They built it up there in Ohio somewhere. And it's amazing. And it's great. Noah built an ark by faith. Never seen rain before. Did I say that yet? Never seen rain before and still built the ark because God told him to. Now that's faith and that's work. So our work is represented by Noah. Our walk is represented by Enoch. Our worship is represented by Abel. And our work is not effective unless our worship and our walk are right. Here it is now. So what's so important about our worship? What's so important about these things? Well, it's important in that if our work is to be effective, if Heritage Baptist Church is to be effective in its work, if Eric Crawford is to be effective in his work, what work? The giving of the Great Commission, to spread the gospel, to tell the good news of salvation, to see people get saved, to see people being baptized, to see people added to the church, to see people discipled. If we're going to be effective in our work, our worship and our walk must be right. They come first. If we're to be effective. Now, we can still get the job done, but we can be so much more effective if we're walking with God. We can be so much more effective if we're worshiping God with a true heart. So let us think of that for a moment. Are we walking with God? Are we worshiping Him? Are we directing our honor and adoration to Him? Is God first place in our life? Or is something else taking the place of putting Him first? Whatever that may be. Our worship and our work, our walk need to be right for our work to be effective. Again, Abel represents our worship. Enoch represents our walk. Noah represents our work. So we see worship. Worship. What is the beginning of worship, or what's the crux of it down to the very core? Where does it begin? Look back a page. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the household of God. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the veil was rent in two, so now we have a new way. We have a new contract. There's no need for the temple anymore. There's no need for the sacrifices anymore. We have been given a new way, a living way. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If we are to worship Him, we must come to Him with a true heart, in confidence, right? Full assurance, trusting Him, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Again, we see several things here when it comes to worship. If we're to worship Him, if we're to be ready to worship, We must come to Him sincerely. Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. We remember when the lawyers came to Jesus and asked Him, what is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament? I'm summarizing now. And He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second likened to it is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But the commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, to come to God with a sincere, with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Not a heart of hypocrisy. Not a heart that is double-minded. But a heart that is true. We don't worship God for social interests or to meet friends. That's not the primary motive. We don't come here to worship God at the church so we can make friends and influence people. We don't come here primarily for fellowship. We come here to worship the Lord. Every song that is sung is supposed to be directed at God, to worship Him. Every special that was sung tonight, even Miss Sarah playing the piano, that was awesome. Directed to Him. We're to be worshiping Him. See, the congregation is not the audience. He's the audience. That's why we put so much emphasis upon being careful of not crossing that entertainment line. That the church is not here to entertain the audience. Our job is not to come and make you feel comfortable and make you feel good and to give you the music that might make you... Anyway, I could get off on some of that, but... No, our job is to come here and worship Him. I hate to even use the word job. It's awesome. We get to come and worship Him together. But we ought to come with a true heart. A heart that's fully committed to Him. A heart that's putting Him first place. Not a heart that's double-minded. Can't serve God and man. Right? Can't serve God and mammon. Funny. You know, we ought not be double-minded. We ought to come to God to worship Him. We shouldn't live one way at home and live one way at the church. We shouldn't live double lives. We shouldn't be hypocrites like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But we ought to come and worship Him with a true heart. Not a double-minded heart. Not a heart of hypocrisy. But come to Him with a true heart. So we should, number one, come to Him with sincerity. Come to Him sincerely with a true heart. We ought to, number two, come in humility. Drawing near, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. From an evil conscience. In other words, we should come to God with a position of humility. In other words, God's not lucky to have us. Well, that preacher's just lucky I show up to church. Well, I don't know about that. No. No, we come to God in humility. Lord, I thank You for Your grace. It's just the grace of God and the mercy of God that I am even in existence. That I don't die and go to hell. I mean, God's grace and His mercy is so beyond our comprehension and countless blessing and number. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. And when we come to Him, we should come to Him in humility. It is by God's grace that we worship Him. Again, worship is not necessarily this. And I'm not necessarily against people waving their hands and calling, but worship is to bow down before Him. It's as you remember when Brother Hardy was here, he says, just as if you come to a king and you kneel before the king, you worship the king. That's what we're doing when we come to church. We're humbling ourselves before Him. Humility, worshiping Him with sincerity. Come to Him and singing to Him and worshiping sincerely with all our heart, opening up our hearts to Him, making the joyful noise of the Lord. Giving is part of worship, the active part of giving and surrendering your heart and giving to the Lord in the offering plate is part of worship. Singing is part of worship. Reading is a part of worship. Humility, coming to Him with a true heart. And then lastly, in purity, to worship Him in purity. And our bodies washed with pure water. And we could look up tons of verses on this, but we understand the Bible is referred to as water, and that when we read it, it washes us. I still say, and there's biblical evidence for this, I've heard many people say, well, preacher, I read my Bible, I don't understand it. Well, you ought to pray before you read. You ought to pray, Lord, open thou, you know, mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, pray that. Pray that psalm. And so, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, that he will give you insight as to what you're reading. He'll give you understanding. He will enlighten your eyes as you read. But I will tell you that biblically, even if you don't understand what you're reading, it's still doing a job on you. It's still washing you. Well, preacher, I didn't understand a thing I just read out of, you know, Ezekiel chapter whatever. I didn't understand a thing that it said. It's still doing its work on you. The water is still passing through you, if you would, washing you. And as we are washed by that water, my papa would have said worst, and wrench. Come over here, boy, let's wrench your hands. Instead of rinse. But as we are washed by the Word, it cleanses us. And if we're to come to Him and worship Him with sincerity, right? And if we are to come and worship Him in humility, we must also come and worship Him in purity. Come and worship Him having our hearts sprinkled. You know, having been washed by the water of the Word. And let us come on Sundays and let us be washed by the water. Absolutely a part of it. But I'm talking about daily in our devotional life to be washed by the water of the Word, to be cleansed by the Word of God. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the path everlasting. Most of you know the verse, or have heard it at least, because the song has been written about it. And that old song that says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. I won't sing the whole thing. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. And we need that. We need to come to Him and say, Lord, search my heart. I truly want to worship you. So many Christians live double lives. We need to come to God and just say, Lord, I want to do what's right. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We ought to come to Him in sincerity and humility, and then come to Him in purity. And then we have, not only do we have the origins of worship, which is the true heart, but also we have the reality of worship. In other words, we have the Old Testament saints who have shown by their actions, their expressions, if you would, worship. In other words, I honor you, Lord, with my actions. So, number one, we'll see that David worshiped the Lord. He worshiped Him by confession. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David worshiped God by confession. Remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, also had her husband killed. And Nathan the prophet comes to David and gives him a parable in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the Lord said to Nathan, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and one poor. And he said, the rich man took the poor man's lamb. And he tells him this parable. And David said, well, whatever man took the poor man's lamb and ate it and fixed it for his family, that man's going to die. And Nathan the prophet pointed his bony finger. Remember Dr. A.V. Henderson? Nathan said, David, you're the man. You took Bathsheba from Uriah. You're the man. Thou art the man. Verse 7, David, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And he goes on to say that. And David was repentant. It says this here in verse 13. Look at verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, that the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. But look down with me in verse 20. Notice this. It says, then David, he had heard that the child had died, and then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and what? Worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. David confessed before God his sin, took the punishment that was dealt out by the Lord, and came to God and worshipped him. He confessed, and then he worshipped. I'm telling you, if we ought to worship him with a sincere heart, with a humble heart, we must also come to him with a pure heart. David came to him and worshiped. Number two, we see Job. I don't know that I need necessarily to turn over there, but let's do it. Most of you know the story of Job. If you don't, you can go home and read about it. In Job chapter 1, the Bible says that Job was from the land of Uz, that he was an upright man, one that has feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters there in verse 1. And his substance also was very great. And we won't go into all that. Satan made a request to the Lord. Now there was a day, verse 6, when the sons of God came to the present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Kind of reminds me of Peter, doesn't it? When Peter says that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. By the way, verse 10 is where we kind of get that prayer when we pray, Lord, and pray a hedge around this home or a hedge of protection. And that's kind of the verse that is used because we know God does that. And God puts a hedge, puts a barrier in that that protects from Satan and his imps. By the way, Satan is real. We see it right here. He says in verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we know about Job's affliction. He lost all of his wealth. His children died, and his wife comes to him and says, won't you curse God and die? And Job says here in verse 20, chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and what? Worshipped. I have it, not only I have it underlined, but I took a black pen and highlighted the word worshipped. After Job had lost everything, he still submitted to God's will and worshipped him. Verse 21, and he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we see, first off, David's confession of getting his heart pure and right before he worshiped the Lord. And here we see Job submitting to God's will. Submitting to God's will and then worshiping the Lord. Submitting to whatever God has in your life and then worship Him. See, if we're going to worship Him, we must confess our sins. If we're to worship Him, we must see our life as being submitted to Him. Not just see it, but to submit to Him. But to see our life that it is guided by God. And however God directs it is God's will. Whether it's the valley or the mountaintop. I know I've sang this to you before, but one of our preachers growing up used to sing that song, Lord, I thank you for the valley I walk through today. The closer the valley, the more I learn to pray. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every sign the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. Anyway, it's a great old song. I thank you for the valley I walk through. That's hard to do, isn't it? And Job had to submit to God's authority in his life. And then he worshiped. It's hard. It's hard. We want to question God and all these other things about why this is happening in my life. when we need to be submitting to Him. Lord, I submit to You. Lord, I know You have a will and a purpose in my life for what I'm going through. And I could tell you in my own life, it's easy to do here because I believe the Bible. I believe it absolutely. There's not a doubt in my mind. Whatever it says, I believe. You say, preacher, really? I do. I mean, whether it's whatever it is, because I've seen it work. I know it's of the Lord. But sometimes it's real hard to get from here to here. Right? Nobody else has that problem. Everybody's good. Preacher, I emotionally am just fine. You know, I'm not stressed at all. I'm carefree today. No problems, no nothing. No, it's hard. It's okay, you know, we know it here, but we got to get it to here, where it actually, our fears are calmed. By the way, as we said this morning, God is not the author of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. And we shouldn't be fearful. God has His way. God has a will for your life. And God's going to perform that will. He's still working on us. He's going to perform His good pleasure. And so Job submitted to the authority of God, and so should we. If our worship is to be what it should be, then we must submit to His authority. How can we worship Him in sincerity and in truth if we are questioning Him? How can we sincerely worship Him if we are doubting Him? We must come to Him sincerely with a heart that has been confessed and a heart that is submissive. And lastly, we are to worship Him. Our worship is expressed by our devotion. By our devotion. Genesis chapter 22, maybe the greatest expression besides the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And by the way, this was a picture of it. The greatest expression of submission. I mean devotion. Genesis chapter 22, Isaac is what I was going to say. Abraham offering up his son Isaac. And it came to pass, verse 1, after these things that God did test or tempted Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said what? Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood of the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place for the which the God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. If we are to worship God, we must follow Abraham's example and be devoted to Him. Honor and adoration directed to Him. That He is number one in our life. Devoted to Him. Abraham was so devoted to God, he was willing to offer up his son, his only son. When God spoke to Abraham and told him what he was to do, we don't see any inclination here of Abraham saying, well, I don't know about that, Lord, or I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. It says, Lord, here I am. And the inference is, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do. And we know from Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham believed that, and you can go look it up if you haven't read it lately, Abraham believed that if Isaac would have died, that God would have raised him from the dead. Because, again, we're back to this heart, this head thing, because God had already promised Abraham that through Isaac, the Messiah would come one day. That through Isaac, the promised seed would come. And Abraham knew God would not break His promise. Isaac didn't have any kids yet, so Isaac couldn't stay dead. And I'm thankful that Isaac pictures the greater Jesus Christ who died for us and gave His life for us and shed His blood on Calvary. What a sacrifice. Abraham was devoted to the Lord. We ought to be devoted to the Lord in our worship. Well, we ought to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Worship Him. We think about the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord will only succeed if our worship and our walk is right. And then we ought to worship Him in sincerity, and we ought to worship Him in humility, and we ought to worship Him in purity. Seeing many examples in the Bible, David, who confessed his sin before God before he worshiped. Think about that for a moment. I mean, he had committed adultery. He had committed murder. And he confessed that sin and was able to worship the Lord. Aren't you thankful that God forgives? Nathan said to David, God had put away your sin. I'm thankful that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What a great God we have. Abraham offered up his son, fully devoted to God. May we be fully devoted to him and worship him. Let's all stand. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you and worship you. Help us to come with a true heart, a heart that is sincere, a heart that is humble, a heart that is pure. We pray, Lord, that we would not be like the Pharisees and Sadducees, but God, we would come with a heart of worship, a heart truly devoted to you, a confessed heart. And God, we pray that as we come to you and worship you, that we know that will affect our lives. Help us to be like Job, understanding and submitting to your will in our own lives. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing hymn 337, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. I'll be quick on the announcements tonight, as I always am on Sunday night. I think I do pretty good at it. There is an open gym if you'd like to stay and fellowship and play in the gym. We will need to set up for tomorrow's seminar. The Tarrant County Sheriff's Department is putting on a fraud prevention seminar here tomorrow from 9 to 12 for senior adults. I encourage you here in the church. It might be something interesting for you. Also, come out and support the community there. And we'll be